So glad you could join me for Psalm 128 on your journey through the Word. They say all good things come in threes, and the songs of ascent are grouped together in cycles of three. Psalm 128 is the third, and if you were with us in Psalm 126 and 27, it's very obvious that these three were meant to be sung together. Remember, we've got a downward descent into the trouble, then an upward ascent as we climb in faith, trusting God to take us out of it, and then finally, we leave each cycle of ascent on a peak, taking in the alpine air, basking in the golden sun, hearing the birds sing, and rejoicing in a panoramic view of where we've come from. Our last Psalm, 127, dealt with Solomon's realization that his family was his greatest achievement and therefore his greatest joy. But now we hear the bold declaration that family is a proof that a person is blessed of God. After all, if you had nothing but a loving spouse and a tight family, you could weather almost anything. But flip that around and imagine having everything money could buy, but a spouse that despises you and kids that can't wait to get away from you. In the end, you have nothing. But we're on the peak, so let's lift the mood a little bit again. This psalmist is overwhelmed with God's blessing on his family. Verse 1. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Verse 2, that's the easy part. The rewards, blessing, prosperity. We all want that. But the psalmist isn't speaking about material goods here. Now, how do we know? Because the entire psalm is about your family. He says, you will eat the fruit of your labor. Now pay attention to verse 1. That's where the hard stuff is. The stuff you have to work at. The labor. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. This is not easy. This is why many people don't work at it. The reverencing God part. The worshiping Him part. The walking in obedience part. All of this is like sowing seeds of blessing into your own life. That's the hard work. And in verse 2, you will eat the fruit of your labor. When he says that, he means the fruit of your farming. You know, farmers have to go out and work in the dirt. They don't get to work in fruit. They go out and cultivate the ground, move the earth around, and sweat. So verses 1 and 2 are about sowing in hard work and then reaping the reward. If you're a farmer, you have to go work in the dirt. And that's because farmers don't get to work in fruit. They work in the dirt. They sow in tears, like it tells us way back in Psalm 126, the beginning of this three-psalm cycle. You got to work in the dirt. It's the fear of the Lord, obedience. If you don't sow that, guess what? Fruit doesn't come up. So cultivating blessings in your life is a lot like cultivating the ground. Moving the earth, getting sweaty. But a farmer knows there's a reward coming. You will eat of the fruit of your labor. The reward is coming, and it's all going to be worth it. And verse 3 starts to unpack what the fruit of the labor of reverencing God and obeying Him looks like. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. What confidence he has. He's seen it. He's also seen the opposite. So have I. So have you. Families who hate one another. But here he describes two plants. He's sown, and now something's growing. His wife is like a grapevine, and his children like olive shoots. Food from one plant and drink from the other. It's a way of saying, when you sit in your house at your own table, you'll look at your family and realize you have everything you need. But both require cultivation. But here we see a picture of someone who's done all the hard work and now is just reaping the rewards, and they're content. Perhaps that's the greatest blessing God can ever give us, to look around and say, I have enough. I have all that I need. When Alexander the Great wanted to reward his most trusted counselor, Sosthenes, for the advice that led him to countless victories, he approached Sosthenes as he was sunbathing in his garden. "Sosthenes," said Alexander, "for all you've blessed me with, I would like to reward you up to half my kingdom. It's yours. Just ask." Sosthenes squinted up at him and said, "Okay, all I want is for you to move a little to the left. You're blocking my sun. Now that's contentment. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. His wife gives him all he needs, and his children are the overflow of abundance." Why do I feel that women get this more than men? It's kind of men that are slower to come around and finally get that this was all the blessing they'd ever hungered for. Well, how about you? Do you look at your family and thank God for what he's done, for what he's given you? Do you actually ever sit at your table and enjoy them? Perhaps you came to faith a little later and you don't feel like you sowed reverence and worship into your house like you should have. Well, my friend, it's never too late. You can always humble yourself and apologize to your kids for getting it wrong. And it will go a long way to show them you're not a hypocrite. You're just human. But this is the peak, remember? Back to the peak. Here the psalmist stands on the pinnacle and pronounces a blessing upon us in verse 5. "May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel." The word blessing is used more than any other word in this psalm. Being blessed by God is really all there is. It doesn't matter if you want that Tesla Cybertruck and it's crazy expensive. If only you could figure out to... Wait a second. Okay, back to the blessing of God. All kidding aside, it's really the only thing you need. And verse 6 closes the psalm by telling us whatever blessing we receive from God passes down a legacy not just to your children, but beyond them. And it's the best thing you can leave your family with. A witness of worship. An example of a broken, humble worshiper of God. May you live to see your children's children. May you pass on this legacy of blessedness to them and to the next generation. And you may not have caught it in the statement, "Peace be on Israel," but it's not a political statement. It's a spiritual one. Peace only came to Israel when it was faithfully reverencing God and obeying him. This is a prayer for generational blessing when the entire nation, young and old, was following God. And that's my heart, and I'm sure it's yours. So as we part ways today, let's make an agreement to pray for the next generation as we seek the Lord and ask God to bless them. I haven't given up on them, and I know you haven't, and I know God hasn't either. That's why he's given you and me to them.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.